The Sheriff, the Jason Rancho, brought to you by the KTTH smartphone app. Text the keyword app to 1-800-465-8770 or download the app in your smartphone's app store. Take the station with you wherever it is you go. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So it's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending on Planet Sawant?
Shama Sawant, although I'm not going to just give her a hard time because it's also Lisa Herbold. They are trying to cut the navigation team in Seattle. The navigation team is the group of dedicated workers, both within the Seattle Police Department and within the Human Services Division of Seattle City Government. These are social workers. This is the social worker embedded program. They go, they have contact with illegal encampments, dangerous encampments, and they connect these folks with services while cleaning up the encampments. They go and try to get people off of the streets, helping these individuals who are in desperate need of help, putting them indoors rather than having them sleep outdoors, and also cleaning up our city. Shama Sawant and Lisa Herbold have just put two plans forward that in Sawant's case would completely gut the entire program. In Herbold's case, eventually completely gut the program. This is a nasty move driven by politics, driven by ideology. And the end result of this, the consequence of this, parks and streets way worse than they are right now. Homeless encampments will grow. People will die. I'm not going to hold back on talking about this the way people like Shama Sawant and Lisa Herbold depend on media members to hold back and talk about. I'm just going to be blunt. Sawant and Herbold, if they have their way here, if they cut the navigation team, homeless encampments will grow and more people will die on the streets. It is literally that simple. This is literally about life and death. People who live on the streets, addicted to heroin, addicted to alcohol, living with a mental issue that has not yet been treated, will continue to live on the streets. What's happening right now? The weather's starting to turn, isn't it? It's getting colder. It's getting wetter. It's getting darker. These people are going to die. Putting them in shelter, getting them into a bed with heat, with blankets, with pillows, with access to showers, with access to indoor plumbing, that will save them in the short term. Putting them in mental health care treatment or addiction treatment, that's going to save them in the long term. Letting folks live in an alleyway, shivering, so cold they can barely sleep, having to use a toilet as a park, going into a park, literally using it as a toilet, that's not compassionate. That's not humane. But we're told that the sweeps lack compassion. That Shama Sawant's plan, that Lisa Herbold's plan, that's compassionate. That's humane. That compassion kills people. What Sawant wants to do right now is cut all the funding to this program.
The bulk of the money that is used on the sweeps is used to literally sweep our human beings from one spot to another, and from that spot to another, and from that spot to another.
She's an abject liar. She is making a bad faith argument. And that's not me, cynical talk show host, speaking. This is me, someone who actually knows what it is I'm talking about, talking. This is me, the person who actually does the research. This is me, the people, one of the people, who've actually gone out with the navigation team, seeing what it is they're doing. I went out on a so-called sweep that Shama Sawant wants to say happens. She has not. I have. And I can tell you one thing that I saw was a lot of people who are in desperate need of help suffering. And I saw a navigation team thoughtfully connect with these people. I saw a couple make contact with the navigation team and their social workers and their police officers. And I saw them. I followed them into a tiny home village in South Lake Union, just about a block and a half from where I live. I saw them get the care that they needed. I don't think the system's perfect. But you know what? I would rather an imperfect system where people are getting help than no system at all that keeps these people living out on the streets. Shama Sawan doesn't know what the hell she is she's talking about. She's doing this because she is motivated by her politics. She is motivated by a fringe group of socialists who want to keep people out on the streets so she can pretend that she's fighting for them. Because you know what? It makes it a lot easier for your propaganda when you have images of people suffering and you standing in front of them and saying, I want to help these people, even though the help is there. But when you give them that help, you're not going to be able to get that photo opportunity, are you?
This is a complete waste of money. It also increases the trauma that people who are already traumatized feel. We need this to end, absolutely to end immediately.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the only thing that will end are people's lives. And she seems okay with that. Lisa Herbold wants to put up a whole bunch of different benchmarks that are driven by her ideology to guarantee certain funding. It is a position that she wouldn't, of course, take with transportation projects. She doesn't hold them to account the way that she wants to hold the navigation team to account. This is someone who has been trying to stop the sweeps for the last year. She's been trying to slow them down. And by the way, both of these people, both Lisa Herbold and Shama Sawant, they're up for re-election right now. When you ask average people, not the socialist alternative folks that back people like Shama Sawant, not the fringe bloggers that do all the dirty work for Lisa Herbold, when you talk to actual people like Como did, you get this.
I think it's a terrible idea. I also think that it will result in a whole lot more robberies, a whole lot more theft, and a whole lot more violence.
How many times have we done stories on the show about crime that's driven by homelessness, about businesses getting broken into, about people who are just walking by getting beat up, getting physically assaulted? How many times have we done that story? We do them every single day. And we don't find them. We don't go looking for them. They find us because they're absolutely everywhere. And that situation is going to get worse. How many times on this show have we told you about the urgency about going after this problem? And it seems like the council has no urgency at all. This is another example of that. Here's a homeless woman. She says she wants help. She doesn't know where to go.
We would need that help, yes. I don't know where to reach out to a lot of things.
The navigation team is able to do that. They're specifically trained to meet people like this woman and put her in touch with the resources she needs. Just listening to her voice, does that sound like a woman who's going to be alive, left on the streets for another year or two? I want you to think about that for a second. Listen to her voice.
We would need that help, yes. I don't know where to reach out to a lot of things.
That woman will be dead in a year or two if we keep her out on the streets. If we force her to sleep outside in the dead of winter when it's wet, when maybe the snow hits, she's going to be dead. And she's going to be dead because there are people in the city who have no political will to stand up against people like Shama Sawant or Lisa Herbold. And the truth is, no matter what it is we do, unless we go ahead and vote these people out of office, these projects will continue to get canceled. These threats will continue to get made, and we'll continue to bitch and moan about what the city is becoming, because not enough of you guys who are listening to my voice right now are getting involved. And some of you use as an example, oh my gosh, I wish I could help. I live on Bainbridge Island. Oh man. I live in Squim. There's only so much I can do, really, because the bad policies of Seattle end up going into your neighborhoods. I know in Squim right now, you guys are dealing with a homelessness situation that's getting completely out of hand. We're going to be tackling that tomorrow or Monday with a guest. Bad policies spread. Bad politicians inspire other bad politicians, because you know what? Bad politicians who don't have our best interests at heart, who want to grab more and more and more power for fundamental change on systems that they don't like, they see it happening in this big city like Seattle. And they're like, oh, I mean, I live in Renton. I'm in Puyallup. I can do that. I can do this in Puyallup. I can do this in Tacoma and Olympia. I mean, if that could happen in Seattle, oh, man, I'm going to do it too. So what are you doing right now to ensure that Shama Sawant and Lisa Herbold don't get reelected onto this council? They're making this move during an election year, a month away from results, right? The ballots are getting mailed today and tomorrow. You're going to get your ballots soon. For those of you who live in Seattle, make sure you're not voting for Lisa Herbold or Shama Sawant. And more importantly, the folks who live outside of this region of Seattle, maybe you're listening to me right now in Clinton or Aberdeen, Chehalis. Do you have $10 you can donate to Phil Tavel, who's running up against Lisa Herbold? Do you have $10 that you can give Egan O'Ryan who's running up against Shalma Sawant, both of those candidates, I don't agree with 100% of the time. In fact, quite the opposite. Maybe they get my support 15, 20, 30% of the time, depending on what it is we're talking about. Some topics, I agree with them more than others. They're progressive Democrats, but you know what? They're not Lisa Herbold or Shalma Sawant, and they're not willing to let people sleep on the streets of Seattle dying. Well, those of us taxpayers are trying to go about our day not getting beat up, not having our cars broken into, or our homes broken into, or our businesses broken into. And Shalma Sawant and Lisa Herbold stand in our way. So what are you guys going to do right now? What are you going to do to help change that? 1-800-465-8770. By the way, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to my latest blog on the despicable attacks Lisa Herbold is waging, the hypocritical attacks she's waging against Phil Tavel. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. I got a little heated there.
Yeah, you did.
Just a little bit.
You did good, though.
Thank you. Maybe we should have had the camera on for that.
Maybe. That would have been.
A producer who was thinking ahead of time like would have thought that through.
It would have been.
I'm just, I mean, that wasn't a diss at you.
It didn't feel like a not diss.
But it was a diss at you. 1-800-465-877. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Fake news.
Twitter trolls are spreading a pretty vicious hoax about Chick-fil-A, a company they absolutely loathe. Because the owners happen to be religious. Joining me to take us through the hoax story is Brad Palumbo, our friend and columnist over at the Washington Examiner. Brad, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So take us through the latest attack on Chick-fil-A that was started in large part by just a random tweet.
Yeah, so everybody knows that kind of the LGBT activist, woke left hates Chick-fil-A, right? It's a religious company. Its owners don't support gay marriage. And, you know, maybe you could criticize them, debate them on that, but these people go far beyond that, and they strawman Chick-fil-A, and they make up fake rumors, and this is what's happened now. Is you've had a couple of these huge progressive political accounts on social media spreading fake news, right? They're spreading a fake claim through viral tweets and Facebook posts saying that Chick-fil-A funded a bill in Uganda that would legalize murdering gay people. This is not true at all, right? But it got hundreds of thousands of retweets and likes and shares on Facebook. But the most disturbing thing to me, Jason, was not that random internet trolls spread fake news on social media. That happens a lot. What disturbed me the most was that one of our supposedly neutral fact checkers, Snopes.com, looked at this bogus claim and rated it partially true.
Yeah.
When it's totally false.
It is totally false, but I kind of look at Snopes and, you know, to be fair to them, I don't think most normal, reasonable people view them as impartial, even though I know that's how they like to sell themselves. And to see how they call this partially false is just ridiculous. Take us through the very, very, very slim connection via one organization that maybe had some sort of ties to Chick-fil-A.
So there was news a couple weeks ago, I think, about how Uganda was supposedly going to institute the death penalty for gays. Now, of course, you and me would be the first people to say that that is crazy, outlandish, horrible, and this was denounced across the board by everyone. Turns out that might not actually be happening, right? So we don't even know if that's true, but that was the story. Then, supposedly, Chick-fil-A is behind all of this, and here's the extremely tenuous connection. Chick-fil-A's owners, through their private foundation, so not even the company, donate to the eighth largest nonprofit in America, the National Christian Foundation. And this group works with thousands and thousands and thousands of groups to do Christian charitable projects, a couple of which are based in Uganda and have some ties to anti-LGBT pastors in Uganda. Now, those pastors have no tie to this legislation, no tie to this bill, but we're supposed to believe that Chick-fil-A, when you eat delicious chicken or buy a really good shake at Chick-fil-A, your money is going to kill gay people in Uganda because of a fourth degree removed separation of a bill that's not even potentially happening.
What I love about this, because I'm just going through right now some of the tweets, including the one that you had linked to in your Washington Examiner piece, which, by the way, as of right now, has 119,000 likes and 57,500 retweets. The dude, after being called out, is still like, no, just do a Google search. You'll be able to find all the truth. Like, we've gone down this path of just sheer delusion all over a political disagreement on something that is not at all tied to Chick-fil-A as a service that presents chicken products. It is kind of crazy, but I'm wondering from your perspective, Brad, is like, is that where we're going? Is this now what social media is doing?
Look, I think that this is where we're going, and it's where we have been in terms of people spreading hyper-partisan and fake things online. I think the real problem, though, is that people are supposed to be able to trust our institutions, right, to look to for authority, whether it's the media, whether it's fact checkers, right? Those are, like, I'm a member of the media. This is supposed to be our job, is to keep these kinds of things in check, because there's always going to be fake hoaxes. There's always going to be rumors, right? Social media is just the latest iteration of this. The real problem, in my mind, is not the fact that some people post false things on the internet, but the fact that mainstream media and fact-checking institutions are constantly failing in their civic duty to keep this in check. And they're doing so because they have a blind spot due to liberal bias.
You know where I go if I want really top-notch analysis of the news of the day?
Where's that?
To my own blog. But then once I, you know, look at my own stuff, then I go to the Washington Examiner. I check out Brad Palumbo's stuff. Fantastic columnist. There. All this stuff at WashingtonExaminer.com. You should have just took the question and ran with it and self-promoted.
Yeah, there you go. I guess if people are interested in reading my column about this, Chick-fil-A.com, like you said, WashingtonExaminer.com. And I will be doing more coverage as long as people keep spreading lies about delicious chicken.
Yeah, so in other words, Brad has tremendous job security. Again, WashingtonExaminer.com. Brad Palumbo, my friend, thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
You're listening to The Jason Rancho. Again, that was Brad Palumbo. If you want to follow him on Twitter, which I highly recommend you do, his Twitter account is Brad_Palumbo, Brad_P-O-L-U-M-B-O, Brad_Palumbo. He's with the Washington Examiner. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
You want to know why I love London so much? The people.
The people?
They're good people.
Yeah.
They're good people.
I haven't been. What? No.
The thing about them is that they kind of have purpose. And sometimes it's literally just getting to work on time. They travel with a purpose. And what I love about them is that if you get in the way of traveling to go to work or to get home, they're not okay with it. And boy, was that on display today. Because a whole bunch of really furious Londoners decided, yeah, global climate change activists, you're not going to ruin my day. A group of Extinction Rebellion protesters decided to jump on top of an underground train this morning. So on top of the subway train. And as a consequence, the train was not able to pull out of its station. People did not like that.
No.
Not even a little bit, because they have stuff they need to do. So they decided not just to shout them down. Not just to throw things at them. They decided to also jump on top of that underground train, pull them off, and there might have been some punches thrown.
That's what you're supposed to do. Don't they know?
There was one part that was caught on video. Dude gets on top of the train and chases down one of the protesters who was running away. He grabs him and throws him right over.
Good.
It's so great.
I love this.
I do too. Extinction Rebellion protesters then tried to glue themselves to these trains, which of course is a problem.
Did you walk here? From your home? Did you walk here? No. How did you get there?
No. It's clear.
I know.
Obviously, by a train,
yeah.
By a bus.
You were on a train to this station.
You were on a train to get here, and now you're stopping us from getting on a train. I'm so sick and tired of these protesters who want to disrupt everybody's lives to make some kind of point. If you cannot win an argument without stopping traffic, without stopping everybody's day, that's a you problem. Look in a mirror. There's something that you're doing that's not connecting. And the funny thing about this, I guarantee you, especially in London, where there are a lot of progressives. You are turning people off who probably already agree with you, but they're not as crazy as you, and that pisses you off. 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text on the Numb Better Text Resolution Hotline.
Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. It means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller, Smiles by Design. Concept is very simple. The media is hyper-focused on the city of Seattle, and they end up ignoring a lot of the other important stories. So we focus on you and completely ignore Seattle. And we start in Everett with an update of a story that we talked about just a day or so ago. Monte Cristo Ballroom unexpectedly closed. This is a very popular spot for weddings. A whole bunch of people got their wedding plans canceled, including couples who've got weddings scheduled the next 2 weeks or so. Well, we've got a good update. A Good Samaritan has stepped forward for some of the couples whose weddings got canceled. They're offering up their own venue. So this ended up happening because the venue owners claim essentially that one of the owners or the owner had some kind of health issue and they had to close down. Although I will say this, a bunch of people almost immediately texted us and emailed me when I covered it the first time saying, no, that's not what this guy is, a shady dude. I have no idea. And it doesn't really matter at the end of the day because you got a lot of people right now who have been put in a lurch. Some people spent $12,000 already, and they don't know exactly what they're going to do. So Lynn D. Stiles, the owner of the Feather Ballroom, when she heard the news, she told Cairo 7 TV she felt devastated. So she's offering her venue to these couples for free.
Ah, my heart broke. I'm going to cry. It's terrible. Not even a week before their wedding.
She's talking specifically about Cindy Perez and Brian Ortiz. They were supposed to get married this Sunday at a Monte Cristo, and instead now they're going to the Feather Ballroom.
It was overwhelming. I mean, that we probably cried more from that than the reality of Monte Cristo closing down, because it was really touching.
So to them, that's worth about $6,000. Here's Brian.
Much better than what we originally had dreamt of. It's just kind of hard to believe a little. And that's just off of the pure kindness and goodness of the community.
It absolutely is. And you know how sometimes a whole bunch of bad things start to happen to you one after the other after the other, and you don't know what you're going to do. They were kind of having that moment up until today.
When things go bad, they can go really bad for us. I've been a cancer patient since I was 11, and I go in and out of remission fairly periodically, like every 2 to 3 years. Cindy, since she was 15, has had these a form of a cluster headaches, and these cluster headaches put you into like a seizure state.
So not content with just doing the work to help these two people, Stiles says she and her husband are working with some other couples on a case-by-case basis to see whether or not they can help them. Good for them. Good for them. These are the kinds of people that we need to shine a giant spotlight on. So Feather Ballroom, if anyone's in the area looking for a venue, you should 100% reward them with your service. At the same time, we are still trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen, not just with the couples who are owed money as a result of this closing, but also employees who have not yet been paid or even communicated with the owners at all, including this guy.
They didn't say nothing to us about, like, closing or anything.
How much money are you out right now?
About $2,000.
That's insane. So when I said there were some red flags when this place closed, yeah, there are a lot of them now. Also in Everett, Alaska Airlines CEO Brad Tilden, he wants to expand at Painfield before people get excited or panicked. He's just talking about it. This is just aspirational, because he understands for that to happen, the feds need to allow it, because they capped the capacity at 24 daily departures, 24 daily arrivals. Brad obviously would like to do a lot more of that, because right now Alaska Airlines only offers 18 departures from Painfield's passenger terminal. It's operated by Propeller Airports. We need more of these. Every single person who has gone to Painfield has said, this is the place to travel. Don't go to SeaTac. SeaTac's the worst. Go to Payne because it's so much smaller. It's so much newer. They've actually put some thought into how they designed the thing. Because you know what I hate at SeaTac more than anything in the world?
Not enough plugs around the airport for your phone, and then when you do plug them in, it doesn't charge and give you any sort of gain.
It dribbles out a little bit, just a little tiny bit of watts. It's like a quarter of a watt per hour that you're plugged in to the stupid outlet, and all you're trying to do is get some entertainment on your phone, because you're about to get on a six-hour flight, and sometimes you're not able to plug it on the plane. And so all you want to do is go from 80% to 90%, because that 10% increase gives you about 30 to 45 minutes, but no, you don't get that at all. Continue.
Or the TSA pre-check lines that now are just like general lines half the time. And
why am I paying extra for TSA pre-check if it's as slow as the other line? What's the point? What else?
The fact that drop-off and pick-up are always crammed no matter what, whether planes are leaving, you know.
Hey, dummies, don't stop right in the middle of a lane. Why don't you pull over? And it allows other people to travel past you. And by the way, say your goodbyes in the car. You don't need to get out of the car, hug your loved one, and then be on your way because you're holding up everybody else. Say goodbye on the 45-minute drive to the airport. Thank you.
How about when intercoms are trying to give announcements and then they overlap each other?
You're at one gate, gate 19, and the agent decides to talk over the intercom, giving you crucial information. You know what happens 4 seconds into that gate agent talking? The other gate right next door starts to talk too, and you can't hear anybody.
What else? I think that's it.
That caps it off. I mean,
my throat hurts.
I wonder if Payne Field has any of those same
problems. No, they don't. They don't. That's why everyone loves them.
I want to try Payne Field.
Don't make me yell like that. Like, for that long. That was, like, a lot of yelling.
That was good. That hurts. Way to get that off your chest. I know you've been capping. We haven't talked about SeaTac in, like, 10 days. You must just be, like,
God,
throbbing
the
to
just,
yell
about
it.
They're just the worst. And I've been to so many airports. SeaTac's the worst.
Finally, the chief of Whatcom County Fire District Number 16 in Van Zandt, Washington, says someone or some ones broke into an unmanned fire station, stole a whole bunch of expensive life-saving equipment.
You can see where they had put some type of tool in here like this and then pried against our doorknob. Our generator, it was stored in this compartment right here.
That's Chief Hank Mailing talking with Como TV, and he has a simple message for the monsters who did this.
Shame on you. Like I said, this is the people's stuff, and this stuff is here to help people.
Shame on you. The thing is, with all due respect to this chief, who I feel really bad for, these people have no shame. Whether it's because they decided to break into this unmanned station and steal the stuff because they're living with an addiction that they need to feed, they're going to sell whatever it is they purchased and then purchase either alcohol or drugs or whatever, or if it's just someone who has a bad upbringing and is just a rotten person, these people have no shame. They already have no shame. And there are things that we all can do to address these problems, right? Whether we're talking about someone who is addicted or someone who's like a gang member or something, a thief, there are avenues to actually treat this sort of stuff. Treatment on demand for the addicts, promoting strong family structures for the gang members, offering resources to people who are low income. And also, I know that this is going to be the most shocking and controversial position of the show, you know, letting cops do their jobs and enforce the law. Crazy, I know. Because right now, they're going to have to spend a whole bunch of money that they otherwise would have spent on things that they need beyond what they already had, but they no longer have what they had.
My district struggles, like a lot of other things, with budget and money. And we could use that $500 somewhere else. Because I'm a little apprehensive on just leaving something in there right yet until we get the better door.
I would be too. But it sounds like he's coming from a really good community that's close-knit, and they're going to step up and they're going to help raise the money. My throat still hurts. Can you get me a tea?
Yeah, do you want lemon? Do you want raspberry, green?
I want the good Dutch stuff that's in my office.
You have a stash?
Mm-hmm.
You're holding out?
You don't like tea.
I drink tea.
Do you like Pickwick?
Never heard of it.
I took it from... I didn't declare it at the border. I think I broke the law, actually.
Oh. Watch out.
Imagine going to jail for, what, holding on to 20 boxes of like tea?
For tea smuggling?
Literally for tea. It's like, what's in the tea? It's just regular tea. I don't understand.
Caffeine?
Is that? 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show.
Is that it?
Yeah, that was a nice little sip of tea. Can I go off script for a moment? I know we've got stuff to talk about, including the NHL season ticket prices, which I don't understand at all.
No one does.
Can I go off script for just a moment? And you can just give me 3 minutes.
Do I have say in whether or not?
I feel like
you're just going to do it regardless.
I'm going to do it regardless. You are correct. But for the sake of the audience, make it so that we're all on the same team.
All right. Yeah, Jason, please go off script.
Oh, you didn't sell that. I've got tea in my hand because I legitimately did turn my throat.
Yeah, you strained it.
Yelling about SeaTac. And I got the cup, got the tea. Put it underneath the hot water system that we have, which is just awful.
Yeah.
It's slow and it drips everywhere. But you know on how on some of these water systems, there's this reservoir underneath it to catch any spillover.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe you push, you're not paying attention and water goes over the cup. It collects instead of going all over the place in the kitchen and the office. It goes into this little reservoir. And I have to assume that there are people out there who work in offices that have the same problem. And really, what I'm hoping you'll do is text me at 1-800-465-8770 to at least confirm that I'm not the only person who gets mad at this. But when the water reservoir is filled with water all the way to the top, to the point that when I put my own cup down, it touches the water and gets wet, why does the person who's before me not clear out the water reservoir? Why is it that we can't just in a general sense, not just here, this is not a Bonneville issue, Bonneville, our parent company. You know, I'm assuming the dentist's office in Marysville deals with this, the lawyer's office in downtown Seattle. Like, why can you not just be considerate? And if you're the last person there and you realize that the water reservoir is filled to the top, why not just,
let me ask
take
you
it out?
Did you take it out?
Well, no, because I'm sending a message to everybody.
So now the next person who goes up is going to be like, wow, why didn't the last person
Because I want to send a message
that
it's just not okay. It's the equivalent of the person who goes to get some coffee and the big coffee jug is out there and you push the little lever down and nothing comes out, just sputters, just air, and maybe little droplets of coffee. Someone before that person pushed the lever down and realized there was no coffee. It takes a total of maybe 11 seconds to make a new pot.
Well, we have a flow chart for that now.
We do. Someone finally put a flow chart that said, hey, idiot, if you push down the lever and there's no coffee there, why not literally spend 17 seconds? And if you're slow, maybe 24. Do this. Put the pot on there. Push the little button. Throw the little thing away. Why can it not be done? Am I the only person? Please text me right now. Otherwise, my head is going to explode at 1-800-465-8770. Why is it that we can't just do that? And we all want to say to ourselves, we're considerate people. We're good people. We want to be good coworkers. And yet we do things like that. And yet I walk into the bathroom and there's like paper towels on the floor.
I think you need to make a flow chart for the water reservoir. And
why should I have to make a flow chart?
Because
why is it just not human nature to say, I'm going to do something good here?
Some people just want to watch the world burn. Alfred.
Am I unreasonable?
I don't think
so. Is what I'm asking unreasonable?
See, it's reasons like these why I don't drink coffee and I bring in Red Bull every day.
But that's not fair.
I don't know.
You should be comfortable getting some coffee, knowing that you're in a place that will fill the coffee pot. That's all.
I trust the flow chart, though, now. I think it's gotten a lot better since the flow chart has gotten there.
In the 801, we got a text about 801, which I don't even know where that is. Be the change you want to see in the water reservoir. Now, to be fair, I was joking. I actually did change. I cleared out the water. And the funny thing is, it was all the way to the top, so some of it spilled. Some of it spilled because I did wipe it up. I did all of that because I'm just like a good person. I mean, I'm not a good person, but in cases like this, I do the right thing.
It's very nice of you, Jason.
I'm getting lots of support. Thank you from the 206, using language, though, that I can't read on the air. The 702 says, if you pay attention to filling up your cup, you won't drip into the pan and won't fill up. Problem solved. Yeah, but people still, the reservoir is there. So now they're saying I didn't actually change. I changed the water reservoir and I spilled it and then I cleaned it.
This would be a really good thing for your behind the scenes on the Jason Rantz Instagram account.
Yes. And the funny thing is, like, these are, and I'm sorry for taking up way more time than I intended
to. It's over.
My apologies. But sometimes, you know, we talk about politics and pop culture and the news of the day, and we do all of that because it's incredibly important. We cover Seattle shoreline Renton races because it's incredibly important. But there are smaller things that sometimes happen in our life, and they happen all the time, and they start to add up, and then you're almost ready to explode. And I felt almost ready to explode over something that, in retrospect, of course, is rather trivial.
That was it. That was your breaking point right there?
That was just like the straw that broke the camel's back. A saying, by the way, that I don't really understand. I know what it means. I just don't understand it. It's just so small. And I'm sitting there as I'm waiting for the cup of hot water to slowly fill, still splashing all over the place because of the design of the thing. And I'm just seething. I'm hotter than the actual coffee or hot water here. I'm just seething like, really?
Hmm.
You can't. The sink is 3 feet away.
You talk about how amazing and perfect and beautiful your life is. These are the things, people, that Jason Rantz has to complain about.
480, engineering office in Seattle. Same problem with both the water machine and leaving the coffee empty. Printed out memes to appeal to the office children, and even that didn't help.
I guess we can all
abandon hope.
I love memes.
Is this our engineer in our office?
Could be. We do have an engineering office in Seattle.
Yeah. Hey, a case for Detective Rantz. I'm going to find it out. Thank you, sir.
Detective Rantz.
1-800-465-8770.